The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday. Welcome back. Glad you're here. I'm glad we made it through another week. And boy, do they go fast. As you probably remember, not very long ago, a couple of weeks ago, we had the honor of having Dr. Peter R. Bregan, MD, on and his wife, Ginger Ross Bregan, to talk about their new, it's truly a blockbuster book. I mean, I could throw this through a plate glass window. I think it's that big. It's called COVID-19 and the Global Predators. We are the prey, and indeed we are. The introductions and the accolades coming in about this book are nonstop. They are extraordinary. Each is more than well-deserved, and I'm trying to find one real quick here that I just saw. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, Peter McCullough wrote a nice one. Of course, he's involved in a lot of the research quoted in the book. Zev Zelenko, the late brilliant Dr. Zev Zelenko, wrote one as well. And he finishes his brief honor and tribute to this book by saying, COVID-19 and the Global Predators is an absolutely authoritative book describing the root causes of the genocide and crimes against humanity that we are still living through. And if I might interject, they're just getting warmed up, friends. This is getting bigger all the time and more deadly every day. It is a bright light of clarity in a world of dark confusion. God should bless Dr. Bregan and his wife with good health and a long life. Thank you both for this gift. Vladimir Zev Zelenko, MD, February 2021. It's a great book. But we're going to talk about other things tonight as well. First of all, let me say hello to Peter Bregan. Welcome back, Peter.
Oh, I'm glad to be back. You're That's on the nice. Cutting edge. And thank you for that lovely introduction and the memory of Zev Zelenko. My gosh.
Yeah. Well, one of the few real heroes out there, including yourself and Ginger. I want you to say hello to my partner and colleague. She is standing by right now online, and I think she can hear us okay. She is Erica Kahn, an MIT biophysiologist with an emphasis, a deep emphasis, on nanotechnology. She works with me. We do 3 hours a week on this horrific subject. And Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff.
Say hello to Dr. Bregan.
Hello, Peter Bregan. Very nice to share this program with you.
Well, hi. It's nice to talk with you. I've heard so much about you. Go ahead.
No, likewise. You are a legend.
Thank you. Well, if you're going to be on with me a bit tonight, we'll get to know each other even better.
That's right.
Well, and,
let's hope.
And if Ginger is there and she would like to come on, Peter, we can certainly get her on. She's such a special person. Yeah.
She's been working so hard. She is resting right now.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, let's not wake her up. Okay.
She's been working so hard.
All right. Were you able to listen to that that audio program, the file I sent? I know you're off.
Yes, I was. Thank you very, very much. Ginger and I both listened to it.
Was it helpful?
Double talk. It was another example, another good example of double talk. He says one thing, he says another. He says one thing, he says another. I think what we have to do with him, and it got me to thinking, and I looked at some other places where he says one thing and says another.
Let's define who he is, all right? We got to name it.
Oh, yes, of course. We didn't even introduce the subject.
It's okay. Yeah, yeah.
Robert W. Malone, M.D., sidekick of Matthias Desmet. Desmet's written a book called The Psychology of Totalitarianism, which reassures her that us that not only are there no enemies today plotting and scheming against us, but we better be careful about criticizing them, even if they don't exist, because it could hurt us if we criticize them.
Talk about double talk.
He wrote me a note, actually. He answered my criticism in Europe and in Dutch. So somebody sent it to me, we translated it, and so on.
Oh,
and in
cute.
The middle of it, after having denied the existence in his book of an elite, he says that we better not try to remove any of the elite because it will backfire on us. So he's defending, they're essentially, Desmet and Robert Malone have created, mostly Desmet or somebody helping Desmet, has created these things and Malone's adopted them. Basically, number one, there's this concept of mass formation or mass hypnosis or the one that Malone emphasizes, mass psychosis. And what it says is that in modern times, it's not the dictatorship who's calling the tune. It's not the people in power, even like Hitler or Stalin. It's a new phenomenon. The masses are calling the tune. Their own psychosis arises in them and makes them conformist and obedient and looking for a dictator, and it makes them violent toward anyone who disagrees with them. Now, this is kind of bizarre because actually the violence comes from the dictators that he's talking about who have, between Stalin and Mao and Hitler, they've killed probably nearly 200 million of their own people. And here Desmet Malone are talking about the people being the problem. It's bizarre, but it's very oriented to an agenda of preventing any fighting back against enemies because there aren't any. Then both of them take a second step. Initially in the book, Desmet says that those of us who find that there are alleged elites in the book, and people who are running, governing the world, making a lot of trouble for other people, exploiting other people, that we are suffering from extreme anxiety, quoting now, confusion, bewilderment, and unfulfilled needs. And we take care of all these problems by turning our eye on and blaming others, and then he says literally instead of oneself. So this is a whole theory about paralyzing us, ourselves, not
shifty.
Identifying enemies. And then
what
later,
a shifty character.
Malone, very shifty, and Malone's very shifty. I said at the time I began criticizing Desmet, and then I'll stop and take a breath, but I said that at least Malone wasn't saying that there are these conspiracy theorists and they're mentally disturbed. And then within no time at all, he comes out and he says, and I'll quote, he says, unlike those who have been blackpilled, so I've been blackpilled, and who conclude overwhelmingly grand conspiracies is the explanation for everything having to do with the COVID crisis. I, meaning Malone himself, I try to constrain my interpretation by the boundaries of the verifiable. Well, first of all, he's not a scholar of any of this. I've been studying this my whole life. He's claiming somehow that, you know, scholarship is what matters and knowing. And I'm one of the folks who've been studying this kind of violence for a very long time and written some scientific articles about it and books about it. So that doesn't give me any particular credibility, but it doesn't put me in the dismissed black-pilled area. And what an ugly thing to say about somebody that they're black-pilled.
Well, this is their game, Peter. They're absolutely expert, and Desmet sounds like he's anything but a rank amateur.
Amazing.
Oh yeah, they're disinformation professionals, and they're actually. You see how it's funny, dear friends and listeners, how they'll take something and black is white, up is down. They'll flip it. They just flip it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're on the correct side. It would seem, if you follow their narrative, of an issue that doesn't really exist. I get so tired of it. I really do. I'm like you. I see right through it. And nobody puts much over on me. I've been at this a long time, just like you.
Well, now, we have in common, but our poor fellows who are in the freedom movement, the health freedom movement, they have not been doing this for years. They have no ideas how diabolical people can be. They don't know that the progressives, and these guys are both progressives, infiltrate freedom-orientated groups and take them over or destroy them. And that's the fight we're doing in the world, is all our institutions have been taken over by people like this. So this is not personal. This is not disturbing, like he likes to say, you're upsetting everybody in the movement. No, we're getting the people in the movement educated about the destructive forces that are going after us.
These are geopolitical facts that we're dealing with, obviously propagated by the media, which is another machine in and of itself. And unfortunately, if a lie is repeated often enough, it tends to stick to the wall. It doesn't fall to the ground. So they know the game. They're masters at this. They have supercomputers with AI assists that can lay out in detail exactly how any particular operation or agenda that's thrown in the public's face will be perceived, received, and reacted to. They know precisely in advance, plus or minus 1 or 2%. They know how most people are going to react. So they have the advantage. And when people come out of nowhere, like Dr. Robert Malone and many others I could name, overnight, and start appearing on, we'll call them second and third tier shows, and then they get to first tier. It didn't just happen accidentally. These people are being promoted and promulgated by the very control mechanism they are allegedly criticizing. It's hilarious.
It's so odd and interesting. And this historical concept actually has no support. That now, for the first time, we have totalitarianism. There's just tons of literature on the totalitarianism of early, just about on the border of civilization beginning. We had totalitarian empires in India, in China, in the Middle East, around the Tigris and Euphrates. Very soon after we got started living in large groups, bullies started taking over. And they tried to control as much as they could. So I decided to look at a more traditional historical analysis. I went to Britannica because his analysis sounds like something out of, I don't know where it's from. So what does Britannica say about totalitarianism? It says it has changed in the modern day in that people now are much more conforming to it and much more overwhelmed by it. So that's a beginning that looks like Desmond and Malone, right? New thing happening. And then Britannica says, but it is not spontaneous from the people. They are, I think, responding to the origins of this, which are Hannah Arendt. And it goes on to say, what's changed now is the greater ability to instill fear, terror, murder, propaganda that makes people so overwhelmed. So it's the exact opposite in a reasonable-looking historical analysis that they give. So quite stunning.
It's absolutely true. Now, Dr. Robert Malone is clearly, in my view, and I think I can speak for Erica as well, being groomed for something. He's not going away. They've spent a lot of money on this effort. He has two or three documentaries done on him already. And
isn't that
how many
amazing?
Have been done?
Big.
How many have been done on you, Peter? Think about it.
Nobody can get an art documentary done on me. There's so much interference with it and so much resistance. Mm-hmm. I've had people try to do biographies of me for magazines and things and to do documentaries on me, and it just gets overwhelming. I'm in dozens of documentaries as a commentator, but the one thing they've managed to do is shut down any major descriptions of me. That would be like a biography or a documentary of our work. The nearest thing to it is The Minds of Men, which interviews me. It's a 3-hour show, and it interviews me about 40 hours on my work, 40 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. I'd say probably 40 minutes or more on my work, and at least maybe an hour. It's a lot of detail. But in general, people get really slammed for that. The only magazine that ever did it went out of business within 2 months, way back in the 70s when I was taking on psychosurgery. Mm-hmm. A magazine did a wonderful spread on my on Peter Bregan's private war, my attempt to stop the brain mutilation, which I succeeded in internationally, the lobotomies that were going on at the time in the 70s, mm-hmm. Peter Bregan's private war. And as far as I know, I don't know if that, I never heard of that writer again. And this beautiful glossy magazine went out of business. And then another mental health magazine published one of my articles around that time. And it was, went out of business. So the head got fired.
What coincidences.
Yeah.
We know how they play the game.
I've earned my enemies. I'm not even complaining. It's proof. It's better medals than getting somebody to, write about me. Actually, there were books written attacking me before I was in any books criticizing psychosurgery. Books came out, and I was getting turned down for doing books. I was put on the margins years back. But we keep fighting. We keep accomplishing. We've published tons of books and scientific articles, so I can't complain. I've been blessed.
Well, indeed. Erica, you want
to
pop in here?
Malone's background? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we're going to do that in just a minute. I just want to see if Erica had anything she wanted to ask. Go ahead.
These are some really interesting insights. I had some of the pieces, but I couldn't quite string them together. But you know, this latest information you've provided fills in a lot of gaps. So hats off to you.
So good. Thank you. Thank you. We have put a lot of time in. We research. We do heavy research here.
I can tell.
Go ahead.
It's all there, and it is. There's none better. Your book is an incredible monument to research. It's just extraordinary. This is
Thank
what
you.
We want to talk about. You're welcome, Peter. Dr. Malone, about a year ago, October, made a statement in a television news interview that wasn't broadcast on TV, but it was done by a television news reporter, and I was able to get a copy of it. And in that interview, at the same time he was telling people to go real slow on the vaccine, that the vaccine may have problems, and don't let your children get it, blah, blah, blah. Well, he made a statement in this particular television interview that we must get as much vaccine into our seniors, and I think he said adults as well, as quickly as possible. He couldn't possibly be more pro-vax than that statement. Now, I played that clip during our program, and Dr. Malone didn't like that, and he actually called the television newsman and told him I don't appreciate you making that available to radio. You shouldn't have done that, etc. I'm not going to paraphrase any more than that. But the point is, the call was rather intimidating, and I think you can understand that, all of you listening, very well. I'm going to read the opening part, or do you want to just tell the story about the phone call, Peter? How do you want to handle it? I can read it, or you can tell it. Might be better to hear you tell it.
Well, I can tell you a story about a phone call he made to me.
That's the one.
Yes, yes, and I've written about it. I got about 3 weeks before this call, I got a very heavy-handed call that turned out to be a big, con game that was being pulled on doctors about, did I prescribe these pain drugs and getting in trouble for it? And, well, they didn't know. I've never prescribed pain drugs in my life. So this is kind of bizarre, but it was so scary. The DEA was coming after me, and they wanted to interview me. And I asked them one or two questions, and they hung up. They obviously saw that they hadn't gotten me. Well, I got a call, and I didn't know where. I saw Charlottesville, Virginia. I didn't think of Malone, who's in Central Virginia, so it's kind of near Charlottesville. I might have thought of him, but I didn't. And I pick it up, and it's the same dark voice, practically, that I heard on the guy imitating DEA. It says, "Is this Dr. Peter Bregan?" And I said, "Yes," getting ready to hang up on the scam. Mm-hmm. And he says, "This is Dr. Malone. Why are you targeting me? Do I have to send you a letter of cease and desist?" This is a quote.
Wow.
And, I said, are you, I mean, I've been through so much threatening stuff. My first thing is not to get scared. I just don't. So I said, believe me, somebody could scare me, but not generally. I said right back, are you threatening me? I said, Ginger, come on in. I'm going to put this on the speaker phone.
Mm-hmm.
Clicks
mm-hmm.
right out immediately. And since then, when he saw it, I think he was so freaked out that I wrote about it. He's writing a blog. He said Desmond was just spent a week with him, and his wife was, Desmond, and his wife was driving Desmond to the airport, and he's sitting there kind of freaking out, and he says, I said that, but I didn't slam down the phone. How do you slam down I called him, but I didn't slam it down. But how do you slam down a cell phone? But it actually had gone down very hard sounding. It was a very fast. So that's the kind of guy he is. He's not the nice person that's been groomed. By the way, Ginger took pictures of him before, he got involved with us, and pictures uh-huh. right after. And he's literally been groomed. I mean, he's literally groomed.
Oh, I understood. No, this is an image.
God.
This is an image sale that they're marketing to the masses of a little teddy bear who has our best interests at heart. No, he's a tough hombre, this guy. And I'd like to say something else. In all of your experience, would it be a fair statement if I suggested that Dr. Robert Malone, with all of his bragging about his deep state contacts, his intel contacts, with his extraordinary CV, his biography, professional biography, that he knows exactly what's going on with these things, these so-called vaccines. This man is not an amateur. I don't think there's anything much that would surprise him. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yes. It's hard to find the words. Let me give you an example of just how much he is loved and embedded in the deep state. The only financial statement we've ever gotten from him in any way is a bio that he put out in 2017, and it wasn't on his website, I don't think. Ginger found it. She's a good searcher. And mm-hmm. in it, he enumerates how in the previous 5 years, he received grants with him as the head of the grant, $10 billion. That's $2 billion a year for 5 years. The grants come from places like CDC, DOD, HHS, FDA, NIAID, of course, BARDA, and most interestingly, DOD, Department of Defense.
Yeah, that is good.
And then I also found a commentary. He gives the numbers, and they add up to $9,500,000 or something like that. And then I found a commentary in a business magazine about global researchers, and there they rounded it off to $10 billion. Maybe they knew a little more than I did, so I like $10 billion. But it's, he talks about $9.5 billion. Since then, we've found nothing. In addition, he has on several occasions bragged about all his friends in all these departments. He's also said in one interview that they are leaving him. They don't answer his phones anymore. It's a setup.
Well, he's playing victim, of course. Yeah.
And I'm a real, you know, I'm a real now. All of a sudden, I'm a God-fearing, patriotic conservative. He can't even say it because it's ridiculous. This guy is a pure progressive. He's even admitted that he had voted for Obama and Hillary. He's a pure. Then he says, "Okay, I made a mistake." But he does not radiate with the sense of a patriot of America at all. And he is not, I do not believe. And he has talked about all these friends he has, and also his company, the you know, Robert W. Malone Corp. or whatever it's called, but it's his company that where he was where he's a consultant. He said that he actually got 90% of his funding for that. And that's separate from these grants he's getting from the Defense Department, but he wasn't going to do it anymore. So we started looking, and we found out that we found under oath that he had to give a brief, it wasn't so brief, he had to give his resume in a legal case. It wasn't against him or anything. He was being a legitimate medical expert, but he had to give his resume. And in the resume, he repeated something that was in an earlier one, and this is from November 2021. That's when he entered the resume. Yeah, so that's just the very end of last year. Mm-hmm. In it, he confirmed that he was continuing to work, and I think it goes back as far as April 2020, with an organization called NIH Active. It's very easy to find on the Internet because it doesn't have an E at the end of Active. So NIH and then Active without the E. Mm-hmm. And Active turns out to be this fascinating place. It's the Great Reset at NIH. He belongs to NIH's Great Reset. You go to that right now. You're listening on the radio. You can go right there. Within a first page or so, you see it's a public-private partnership. It's the Great Reset. So who's in the public-private partnership? All of the major agencies like NIH and so on. And the DOD, and then who is the represents the philanthropic organizations? There are three, and one of them is Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Oh, what a surprise.
And who represents industry? About nine of the top pharmaceutical firms. And what does ACTIVE stand for? Accelerating COVID-19 Therapeutic Interventions and Vaccines. Read it again, and this is the entire horror show. He's a member of the biggest horror show ever perpetrated.
Yeah.
Accelerating COVID-19 therapies, interventions, and therapeutic interventions and vaccines. Then he's even been central to killing hydroxychloroquine. And you notice he sometimes mentions ivermectin, but he doesn't want to draw attention to saying anything about this. Because he has done articles, not articles necessarily, but major research as the lead author, he describes himself, and so on. And I think it's mostly under this ACTIVE thing. Treating COVID-19 with the currently available drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is about using that Pepcid, I forget the trade name for it, but using hydroxychloroquine with Pepcid. And they're all in hospital. And that's just where you, it's where you tested the sick people if you want to fail, because that's not the tailored use of hydroxychloroquine. It's in early treatment, actually within 5 days of treatment is the best way to do it. And then the treatment only takes 5 days. So, I mean, that's, this is a deadly guy. He's got a DOD secret clearance. Who is this man who's masquerading? He's one of us. It's really quite bizarre.
Well, he's coming across as he's coming across as another Fauci type, the people's doctor. Okay, he's the people's medical authority. He's looking out for our best interests. But we believe, Peter, that he knows probably about everything there is to know about these so-called vaccines. This man is extremely well qualified.
Oh,
he's been in it for decades.
About the whole deep state. Yeah, think about Jeff. He knows about the whole deep state.
Yes.
You don't
get
$10 billion from the deep state without being corrupt up to your ears, in your pockets, and in your shoes. There is no way to do it. I've studied just the pharmaceutical companies. You can't be in the decision-making roles and heading research without being corrupt, because that's all they do. That's the sad story.
You don't.
Nobody taught me that in med school.
Nope.
I learned that I learned it really, just to finish up. I learned that being, you know, one of the most active medical experts against pharmaceutical companies. I was shocked what I learned. And because they couldn't find doctors willing to go up against them, I ended up doing, you know, a lot of work in that area. You can't be in that system without being a deep part of it. No more than Eichmann wasn't a part of the Holocaust. You're in it.
100% correct, and very well said. We've discussed this. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. Everything at this level is planned, orchestrated, and installed, okay? And all of you listening know this. And we have a worldwide audience, Dr. Bregan, and these people are very, very well
informed. That's wonderful. Hello, worldwide audience.
Yeah, they're
hello,
great people.
Hello.
Yeah, well, we've been
You're
at this.
You're listening to a great radio. Yes.
Yeah. Erica, anything you want to plunk in here?
No, I'm processing all that. You have filled in quite a few blanks. I mean, I always had my doubts about Dr. Malone when he first came on the scene. It just didn't fit together. You know, he came out of the blue.
Yes.
Prior to his appearance on the scene, it had been Dr. Cataline Carrico and Drew Wiseman that were heralded as the inventors of this technology, and then they sort of faded into the background, and then here comes this guy. Who's he? And you know, it appeared as though he came forward in an attempt to stop these atrocities. He appeared as though he was on our side and still feigning that appearance. But it just didn't feel right. Didn't feel right. And then you look at his long legacy, you've exposed even more than I knew, of his ties with not just government, but the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, CEPI, Gavi, all these pharmaceutical giants, along with the DOD.
It
doesn't sound like my friend.
He talks about DARPA sometimes, too.
Right.
Or NITRA. Your point, Peter, is essential to understand. And Dr. Malone, you're more than welcome to come on the program anytime. Sit down with Peter and I, whatever you want to do. I'd be happy to listen to it. But quite seriously, this is all being planned so thoroughly and so well. There are no accidents. Image is everything now. When these people look at the screen, the flat screen, and think that they're getting knowledge and wisdom, they're not. They're being programmed. And this is another example of somebody who has been tabbed, for whatever reason, to play a key role for years to come. I believe this. And I don't think he's going away. And if he stubs his toe occasionally, that they own the media. So they can make that go away. Simply by not talking about it.
Nothing I'm saying is going to even appear on Tucker, let alone ABC or CBS or someplace.
No.
That's right.
But you're here, and we have the quality of this audience, I kid you not. This program's been on the air for 29 years. These people are wonderful, wonderful people, very smart, very well-educated, and they're listening. So they don't want to be told what to think. They like to engage in the process of thinking. So that's what makes this so special. Now,
I can give people a direct link, since you have a very intelligent audience. If you want all the information, sources, and what we've been saying in our write-ups, our website is Bregin.com, Bregin.com. But Ginger did a dedicated link for use on the radio and television so people could just remember it. So the link to all of our materials is 123. oh my gosh. 123 Mass Psychosis. I just said anybody could remember it, but I couldn't. 123 Mass Psychosis. So okay. www.123masspsychosis.com. MassPsychosis.com. And you'll get evidence and links to everything I've talked about here.
All right. 123 MassPsychosis.com. Very good.
Yeah.
Back just for a couple of minutes to this rather mysterious, to most people, Matthias Desmet, the psychotherapist. Now, this is a very interesting aspect to this story because Dr. Malone is a very steadfast supporter of Desmet. And I'd like to know...
They've become fast friends, I think,
yeah.
Quite recently. They're really buddies. I mean... You know, he just came back from seeing him for a week in Europe a month or so ago or less, and then he had him visiting for a week. So they're a conspiracy. Now, a conspiracy doesn't mean even you have to be secret. I'm sure they have plenty of secrets. They're a conspiracy. The thing he denies exists, he is a part of. The huge funding for their films, God knows where that's coming from. I'd love to see him be above board. These films are hypnotic
those are
films.
They're productions.
Major productions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're like commercials for sex toys or something. They're all sexy and all kinds of, you know, way up drone views. And Desmet's walking on the beach with the guy who's in. I mean, it's just amazing. So where is all this money coming from? How can Malone, who is in his own right, a multimillionaire for sure, but how does he keep track of all the places he's going? He's campaigning, which is what you were suggesting. Where is he going? People have asked him. Now, this you won't find documented because there's people asking him, and I don't name the names. But people have asked him, well, would you like to replace Fauci and things? And he laughs and says, I wouldn't turn it down. He is being groomed to be... Yeah. A progressive, destructive presence in the next conservative administration and a health person. And he tries to get his bona fides, is what I'm telling people. He's here. He's using us to get legitimized as a conservative critic of the establishment.
Right.
And he's not. He will be in there destroying the heck out of standing up to the global predators. Because you think, what is the establishment most afraid of right now? And it's that there's going to be heck to pay when the conservatives get back in power. So I think that's what he is for. That's what I think he is for. I can't prove it, of course, but we know he wouldn't turn it down. This man's ambitious. He said he wouldn't turn it down. And how do you get into a, I mean, with his background, what conservative president or somebody searching for health care people, how would he ever pick Malone? Malone's campaigning by getting friends and all the conservative media. I think that's what this is a good part about. And he's also promoting concepts that would prevent any indictments or even major criticism like I'm doing of the people behind it all, because there are no people behind it all, he's saying. And he says that anybody who believes that has been blackpilled. That's me.
Yeah, please. This blackpill expression is new to me.
Let me read you that, because it's really it's just so swarmy.
Yeah.
He says, unlike those, this is in one of his last
Oh, and just very quickly, how does he get time to write all these personal messages to everyone that go up on his site? It's amazing.
Well,
it's a huge output.
Also, yeah. Yes. He's also going on everybody else's site. You know, Dr. Jane. Oh, God, I'm blacking on her last name. I'm 86 years old, folks. That's all that is.
But Dr. Jane Ruby. Yeah.
Yes. He went after Dr. Jane Ruby 4 hours putting stuff on her Substack. Is that amazing?
Well.
And he just unloaded on the Substack of America Out Loud. Unloaded on it. He put up some of my email exchange with Desmond without my permission. So I gave the Substack, I gave America Out Loud permission. Yeah, go ahead. Well, show what I'm saying about these guys and what I've said to them. And he just goes around doing this in an amazing fashion. It's got to be a whole workshop there. I mean, this is a...
This is a team. No, this is an operation. He's got a team.
It's an operation. It's not just his wife.
Right. No, right. Now, America Out Loud...
He's got a paper. He's got one of his Substacks that is written by a highly trained lawyer. It's on a legal issue that... And I have huge legal experience and huge interest in the law. It would have been very hard for me to even come close to looking like that kind of legal document. I can't even remember what it's on. And he's got his name on it. No way.
Well, unfortunately, in the so-called alt world of medical and scientific information, are so many frauds and phonies and mouthpieces for various agencies and power centers. You can't count them all. AmericaOutloud.com is Peter and Ginger Bregan's page. That's their Substack page. And
it's much bigger than that.
Okay.
It's Malone's Substack page, too. It's really big. It is the best. It's not a Substack. It is a whole platform. Malcolm doesn't like to use his last name for some reason. He runs it. Ginger and I have a radio show on it, the only show we do together. We do columns every week. Malone does columns every week. Lee Valit, who's a tremendous physician, who also wrote an introduction to our book, COVID-19, The Global Predators. She's on it. It's got a whole daily radio platform.
A lineup.
It's an amazing place.
Yeah.
And Malone.
AmericaOutloud.com.
Yeah, and the reason why Malone put this on was was because Malcolm had asked him, invited him to come, and invited Desmond to come and debate me on the platform. And Malone wrote him a letter, an email, reportedly saying, "Won't you ever write me again?" And then wrote him 5 more emails, and Desmond never answered him. There's a lot going on underneath, not so nice about Dr. Malone.
I've heard this from other people as well. We're not the only ones who have tagged him in the beginning and watched him very carefully. That interview I got from that newsman, in which resulted in my newsman friend getting a phone call from Dr. Malone directly.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate you putting that out there. In other words, it's putting a wrinkle in their rollout. And they were rolling him out at that time a year ago, more so than they are now. He's well established. Look what he did on this Joe Rogan thing. I mean, that's the ultimate imprimatur of you have been made. You're arrived. You're here. So that
did. Right, and it was actually kind of how he got started. They just pushed him right up to the top.
No, there was no problem.
You've got to believe that, folks, that there's so much controlled. One of the best scientists I know got on to Tucker Carlson one night, and not who you think it might be, but and he said to him, you know, Peter Bregan is the one who knows the backstory, what's going on underneath it all. And Tucker said to him, we don't have Peter Bregan on this station.
He said that live on the air, Peter?
No, privately.
Off air.
Privately.
Okay.
Off air.
Well, you know what he said on the air? You know what he said on the air? People were asking him why he wasn't covering the Hunter Biden laptop from hell story. And he said, I am not covering that story here. If you want to see it, you'll have to go elsewhere, because I don't believe in kicking a man when he's down. And I used to be neighbors with Hunter Biden and his wife, and I know his wife, and I am not going to cover that story here. Which forever told all of us who were thinking that Tucker Carlson is not a journalist. He's an entertainer. We got to remember that. He's not a journalist, or a journalist would have covered that. So, very interesting, not a surprise. If I might read just this little bit from your and Ginger's piece about this. People don't know who Desmond is over here yet. They're learning.
Oh, God, Matthias, you're going to get us into this. What he's going to talk about now, Jeff's going to talk about now, is incredible, folks.
All right, I'm just going to read this. Matthias Desmet, the psychotherapist and professor of psychology, whom we have criticized, right, Peter and Ginger Bregan, as a leading apologist for political mass murderers, actually knew that one of his own patients was an unrecognized mass murderer, and then let the man go without reporting him, because he thought his psychotherapy had cured him for life. He didn't report the guy. The predator had been killing people since he was 22 and was an older man now, with a lifetime of multiple murders when he saw Desmet in therapy. We have been criticizing Desmet, right, Peter and Ginger, and his chief supporter, the very same Dr. Robert Malone, for promoting the concept of mass formation and mass psychosis, which blames the victims of totalitarianism. The totalitarian actions in this case are the oppressive COVID-19 policies and practices. The mass psychosis concept not only sees the masses, or the people, as originating totalitarianism, mostly on their own, but the concept also calls for letting off those who are pulling the strings behind the scenes on a global scale. That is who Matthias Desmet is. And that's verbatim from Peter and Ginger's story here on AmericaOutloud.com. There's much more to it. It's on my homepage now in headlines. You can find it there.
Oh, good, good. I'm so glad. That's nice.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Should I tell a little more about what we've learned?
Yes, please. We have about 3 minutes, Peter. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, basically, Desmet let the guy go. We're trying to figure out if more murders were committed after he let him go or not. We cannot figure it out. There's a possibility that there were no murders afterward. We don't know. And then this man, who I think Desmet completely missed the point, this man was trying to get caught, because he then went to another psychiatrist. Desmet's not a psychiatrist. He went to a medical psychiatrist, like myself, and he confessed again in Belgium, and the man reported him. And he went on trial in 2018 and was given pretty much what will be a life sentence for him, I hope, of about 25 years for four of the murders. And those murders were of his own mother, the last murder he committed in 2011, they think. And murdering also his father-in-law and two uncles, suffocating some of them, and injecting air into others. And he was a deacon who had access to very sick wards. And Desmet didn't report him and let him go and said he cured him while the man stayed on the wards where he was murdering people. We don't know if he murdered anybody else. But how could you possibly do that? And the head of the court challenged him. We've got some new things. By the way, this has been largely scrubbed from the internet. We've got the things we've found are up on 123 masspsychosis.com. But the court very angrily questioned him on his arrogance and grandiosity, and says to him, "Well, if it were just you, he wouldn't be on trial now." And then Desmond goes on to say, well, I'm glad he is, but it wasn't the right way. And the guy says, well, how are you going to take care of it? He said, well, I was going to ask him to confess to his wife. And the guy says, and what good was that going to do him or the wife or the rest of the people who might get murdered? It was a bizarre interchange, which sounded so much like his writing that it made me think that maybe Desmond did write the book. Because it's just, he goes on to say that the man had excessive empathy.
Uh-huh.
Empathy is the seat of morality and love.
This is ridiculous.
This man had hatred and violence toward people who he perceived as abusing him. And the first person he ever killed was an uncle. And the last person he ever killed was his own mother. And the estimates for how many he killed coming from the prosecutor were 40 to 50 people. He's the record breaker for Belgium. And this is the man that Desmond saw and let go. And people say, that's an ad hominem argument. This is the big thing right now. Bregan's making personal arguments. That's not ad hominem. That's an important piece of information about
Desmond. No,
that's
a fact. Fact is a fact. This is an incredible story, which is not over yet. So a man has a title, psychotherapist. For all of you out there, you just heard what that can lead to on occasion. Matthias Desmet. And I just wonder what the link is. If you can give us 30 seconds, 60 seconds, what is the link between Desmet and Malone? How did this happen? What can you give
it's
us real quick?
It's incredibly intimate. Malone obviously was given the job of making Desmond famous. And so he got him on that great big TV show, and he talked all about, that you mentioned, all about the psychosis, mass psychosis, which is his emphasis. He says Desmond agrees and Desmond invented it. It's not in the book. So it's Malone really pushing this psychosis concept, which makes it very deadly, because a physician creating a new diagnosis and applying it to masses of people, implying that critics like me are psychotic because he says that those of us do, quote, conspiracy theories, it's like we have the mass psychosis too, but a different variant. And that's Desmond. That's not Malone. That's Desmond.
Well, we got, there's some, there's some connectivity here that...
very close. They are now deep friends. They see each other all the time. Malone has said that Desmond is one of the best men he's ever met, or nicest people he's ever met. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're being promoted now. They have a new campaign. Malone is the most interesting man ever. And Desmond, according to... Tucker Carlson is the most intelligent man he ever interviewed.
Wow. Okay.
The campaigns.
Yeah, this connection goes deep. It runs very deep. There's no question about that. We'll check this as we go down the road, Peter.
Thanks
and
for
let
this
me
great
know.
Opportunity.
You bet. And we've appreciated it. Erica, say goodnight. We got to run.
Yes, Dr. Brigham, thank you very much for sharing your research with us. This is extraordinarily insightful. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Erica. Jeff, thank you so much for this platform tonight.
All right, my friend, I'm here.
Important ideas.
Yeah, I'm here if you need anything. Great. Let me know. All righty.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay.
Night, Erica.
Okay, there you go. Now, that's going to stir up the water a little bit, but... facts are facts, and we're not here to hide them. This is I would have to say, Erica, and we're going to continue our next hour. We have 2 hours together tonight here. There's no question, but this is deep state stuff, way deep. Desmond
and
Malone.
That's what I sensed all along, but, you know, I just, how do you prove it? Now, I mean, that was, he's done a lot of research.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of research. That's a lot of digging.
All right.
But it's starting to make sense.
Yeah, it does. No, I swear this goes. If Malone's trying to front for Desmond and make people think he's a good guy, this didn't just happen.
No, it's a tag team.
There you go. That's a perfect expression. All right, Erica and I will be right back with another whole hour of very important information for you. Stay right there.